What's up, guys? It's Andrew Velasquez with another episode of Mindful Artist Podcast. And that song you just heard is my song called Mi Corazon, written by myself and produced by Aaron McLendon. You can download Mi Corazon wherever you stream your favorite music, Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, all the things. And I want to ask you a favor. If you are a big fan of this podcast, as I know that you're working on yourselves because you're super creative and spiritual, I really want to encourage you to go to our reviews, leave us some stars, tell a friend about us. And if you're a fellow creative person that is also entrepreneur and balancing your spirituality, email me at mindfulartistpodcast@gmail.com. And for today, another episode, your one-stop shop for all things balancing creativity while being spiritual and an entrepreneur. I have another amazing special guest, you guys. I was doing the math, and I mean, if you're watching already, you see how beautiful he is right there, right? Look at that handsome face. But literally, we've known each other since like we were baby twinks, our 20s. And
oh, wait, I wasn't the twink. You were the twink.
I was the twink.
First of all,
you were like maybe a little cubby. I don't know, but you're still,
yeah,
you're cute. You're cute. And so, who is this guy? Who is this person that I'm talking to? You guys, give it up for Pavi. Yes, welcome, Pavi. Let me give you a little bio, Pavi. Thank you for being here. Oh my God. Okay, so. You guys, Pavi began his career in makeup where his work graced publications such as Allure Magazine, People, Marie Claire, Cosmopolitan, just to name a few. He also was a part of many, many fashion shows for LA Fashion Week as well as New York Fashion Week with prestige brands as Laura Mercier and NARS Cosmetics. During his time doing makeup, he has incorporated hairstyling on some editorial shoots over the years. But in 2010, he shifted to do hair primarily. He had the opportunity to be a part of the entertainment industry as a hairstylist, where his work as a key and department head can be seen on features such as Snatched, Dicks, the musical, Self-Reliance, and notable TV shows Dave, Love, Victor, and Westworld, in which he won a Primetime Emmy Award. Wow, that's amazing. Pavi's celebrity clients include Dave Beard, I'm probably butchering that last name, Michael Cimino, Brad Pitt, Anthony Hopkins, Tessa Thompson, Isla Fisher, Johnson, Julia Fox, Andy Samberg, Anson Mount, Noah Centineo, Billy Lord, among others. You guys, I mean, come on. That bio speaks for itself. Bravo, my friend.
Thank you. I mean,
I have looked up to your portfolio for such a long time. You've been a really great friend and mentor in the past whenever I had, you know, questions about the industry and being a part of an agency or local 706, all the things. And I'm just so proud of you. You've come such a long way. You're an Emmy Award winner. Like, wow. Like, I want to know all the things. And this is why you're a perfect guest for this. Let's go a little bit back in time and talk about, where's Pavi from? Where did you grow up? Give us a little bit of the origins. Ooh. Yeah.
All right. Well, all right, I'll give you the cliff notes. I mean, I'm from Orange County originally. You know, I was pretty much grew up in Costa Mesa. And for anyone who's from Orange County, they know how conservative it was. And when I was growing up there, it was like the 90s. And something that you and I have in common, obviously, is our love for Madonna.
Yes.
And clearly, yes. if you know Andrew, you know he is a Madonna
stan.
Right
there. She's yeah, right there.
Like, she's there, and she's in a few other places that you yes. can't see, but I saw her.
Yes, I love that you know.
But I mentioned that because she was someone who was very instrumental in just helping me kind of push the envelope and be myself. And, you know, I came out when I was 14 years old, and I was probably one of the only, you know, out gay people in high school besides a couple other people. But I was like in ninth grade. And, you know, like I said, it was Orange County. It was conservative. It was not that accepting. I was, you know, some people have told me over the years, like, that I inspired them to come out, that because of them, they felt comfortable to be who they were. And, you know, I always was pushing boundaries with, like, doing stuff with, like, my hair, doing things with my makeup, wearing barrettes, doing glitter. I mean, it was a time of raves. It was a time
yes.
of... you know, party crews, mm-hmm. like I had a greaser look for a second. I would do like, you know, like a candy kid thing. I would do club kid makeup and
work.
Hair to school. Like I really was out there, but, you know, my first love was actually, my first love was fashion. For a long time, I wanted to get into fashion design, And I would like make Barbie clothing, you know, for my Barbies when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yes, I
So
was
cute.
that gay. I had the Barbies.
I have the Cabbage Patch and the He-Mans, but I would turn them into drag queens too.
You would use the yarn from the Cabbage Patch to like make
Yes.
a wig for He-Man in color.
100%. Well,
Yes.
yes. And the Rainbow Bright Sprites. I love those too.
Oh yes. I had a red butler and like the green one because every time I would go to look for Rainbow Bright, she was sold out.
I still have my
And
blue
it was the
one.
only one in like the bargain bin was Red Butler. Like that was the only one.
Yes.
But yeah, so just playing with dolls kind of got me into fashion. And then when I was in high school, like, you know, junior, senior year, I started to look through magazines and really get inspired by, you know, the 90s supermodel. I mean, recently that show came out on Apple TV about the supermodels. Like that was
So
my
good.
area. That was like my era, our era of growing up, like
They were the
to
first
be in high
influencers.
school. They really were. And it was like they were everything. And so I would look at these fashion magazines and see, you know, Linda Evangelista is a great example that she
She's
would
my
be in different
favorite.
campaigns and you would see like all these different looks on her. And I was like, you know, I almost wouldn't recognize her in some things. And then I realized, like, oh, it's the makeup and the hair that she looks different, but you can still kind of see her. And I was just so entranced with that. So I immediately started getting to makeup. One of my first jobs, which a lot of people say, don't tell people you did that, but I'm sorry, I'm actually proud of it. I worked
Whoa,
at
what is
Glamour
it? What?
Shots. Glamour Shots.
Yes. Glamour shots
Yeah,
are
so
awesome.
I mean, listen, for me, it was a really good opportunity, especially looking back, knowing what I know now. I got to see what makeup looked like on camera. I got to see, you know, balance of hair on camera because when you work at Glamour Shots, it wasn't just like, you know, I'm gonna go and play with makeup. Like you had to do hair, you had to do makeup. At the time, I really didn't know how to do hair. Like I had never really used hot tools. As the first place that I learned how to use hot rollers, and I had a couple stylists there kind of teach me how to use an iron. And then that totally changed the way I started doing hair. But
Thermal of it all.
nonetheless, I was still really like into makeup. That was like my love. I was all about the transformation. I also began doing drag around that time. Like in high school, I started doing drag. So little or side origin of that, you know.
Work.
So I did drag. So obviously, I was playing with my face and doing all kinds of things.
Wait, you have to know what was your drag name?
Oh,
And did you have a
well,
drag mom?
you know, I technically didn't really have a drag mom, but what my drag name was Miss Fiction. So Miss Fiction was like a quick side story about Miss Fiction. So I was going to Oz at the time, like 18 years old. It was the gay club in Orange
That
County.
place
Like
was
if you were
amazing.
gay,
Yes.
that's where you went. Like you
And
were like
Latino.
when you went there, you were somebody and they had 18 and over, and like, you know, sometimes you get there and they could sneak you into the 21 and over side. I won't say who those people were. I don't want to get them in trouble. Like it matters anymore. The club is no longer there, but
For me, it
I'm
was
going to keep
Arena.
that secret. Oh, Arena too. That was the playground to have like your club kid fantasies and like your
Yes.
house music fantasies and like
Oh,
dance. Friday nights was all ages and you could
so good.
dance till like 4 in the morning. It's like so New York. But I went to the show at Oz and, you know, I had gone dressed in drag a couple times and I went and I was watching the show and I'm like, oh, I could, you know, there was like queens like Tiffany Diamond and Brittany Halston and Paulina or Pauline. You remember Pauline? She did Selena. She was a Selena impersonator for the most part. And the host was Tommy Rose. And Tommy Rose, actually now she's I think she's a cast member in Lacage over here in LA. It's like a really big deal for
Nice.
her. I just noticed she's doing that. But anyways, so she was the host. And I remember going to her after the show saying, you know, me being this 18-year-old fierce, you know, my nickname was Diva Bitch. So that can give you an
Very
indication
fitting.
on who I
Fitting
was back then.
with the capital T.
Everybody knew about Diva Bitch. So I went backstage and I said, you know, I want to perform. And she's like, well, okay, you know, we have a spot in 2 weeks. You can perform. What's your drag name? And I said, Diva Bitch. And she like scoffed at me. She's like, oh, honey, you have to earn the name Diva. You're gonna have to come up with another name. And I'm like, oh
You got
shit.
schooled.
I got schooled, and I remember like I was getting my performance ready, and I was talking late one night with one of my friends, and MAC was a very popular brand at the time. Like it was, that was when MAC was in its like
Prime.
prime time. Like it was the best formulas, the best color selection. Everybody was using it. It was affordable, but not cheap.
It was also like
Everybody
the
who was,
go-to drag queen look, makeup,
yeah. Oh
product-wise.
yeah. I mean, studio. You were like, if you were a gay boy, if you were a drag queen, you had Studio Fix on your face, like
Probably
beat
too
down.
much too lighter than your skin tone, but yeah, that's what we would be.
Yeah, that was the
That
look. That
was
was
the
it was the
filter.
90s. It was the 90s. But I remember I was on the phone late one night with a friend of mine. And I was trying to think of drag names because I'm like, I can't, use Diva Bitch. And she's like, huh. And a calendar just came out. They were featuring like different colors each month for MAC. And I happened to have one. I was flipping through it. And she was looking at it. She's like, what about Fiction? I'm like, Fiction. And at the
I
time,
did
there was
not
drag
know this
queens.
story.
Yes, that's how
I
Miss
love
Fiction came to be.
it.
Because, Miss was like, at the time there was Lady Miss Cure. There was Miss Lady Bunny. There was, God, Miss Understood. And Miss Understood was like a kind of club kid drag queen, like comedy queen, I guess the kids would say now. But I loved how her name was like one word, Misunderstood. And I'm like, Miss Fiction. So it's not like Miss or Mrs. It's Miss Fiction, like one
Very
word.
Madonna.
Yeah, and I'm like, this is who I am. I'm Miss Fiction. It's like kind of the balance between what's real, what's fake. Choose your illusion. That's who I am. Like I'm just gonna give you what you don't know you need yet, but you're gonna be glad you got it.
We
So,
love that.
anyways, that was like a detour. So,
It's
but
okay. No, we're here for the detours.
yeah, yeah. So I did that, and I worked at Glamour Shots, so I got a little bit of experience behind the camera, like learning about makeup and hair, and I was like a supervisor there. And then I started working at the makeup counter. So one of the first makeup lines I worked for was Hard Candy, which I don't think they exist anymore. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Not
I don't
sure.
know.
I can look it up really quick while you're talking.
Yeah, but they were like really big. They came out with their nail polishes, and they had like the best shadows, like very pigmented. They were doing silvers, they were doing glitter, they were doing bright colors. And so I got hooked up to freelance
They're
for them
still
in,
on online. There's a
oh, they are?
hardcandy.com.
Oh wow. Oh wow. That's really good to know. Well, kids, go check out Hard Candy. Get the techno shadow. That's like the best shadow quad ever in life, if they have it. So I started freelancing in the counters. So I would go representing this brand, selling the products to the people, and then I got a position at Bloomingdale's in Fashion Island as the shift super or not shift supervisor, excuse me. I was the counter manager for New Trends. Now, New Trends consisted of Hard Candy, Girlactic, Too Faced when first Too Faced first started, and Urban Decay. So those were like my brands that I was in charge of. So
Really cool brands.
all the glitter, all the shimmer, all the fun, all the grunge, all the glamour, So I was with them for a little bit. Then I upgraded and I got pulled over to NARS when NARS came to Bloomingdale's and Fashion Island. So I was the counter manager there for like a couple years. And then I got accosted to join Laura Mercier Cosmetics. So I got an interview and I became a national
Nice.
artist with Laura Mercier.
I
I
remember that.
first started as a regional and then I jumped up to a national artist. And then I did that for like 2 years. So what was great about that, just a note about that journey, is like working with fun brands, and then going to a brand like Laura Mercier, which it was very, I want to say she was slightly more regimented as far as the technique on how to apply foundation,
Sure.
the tight line, how to make skin look like skin but still flawless. Like the whole philosophy of the brand was really refined how I did makeup, honestly. And I'm very grateful for that because, you know, going from a brand like NARS, where their slogan was, there are no rules with makeup, to a brand like Laura Mercier with a lot of rules, it was kind of hard to like break this
Transition.
wild stallion of a makeup artist to like kind of not go in a box, but just kind of like, you know, a shade around the box a little bit less,
Yeah.
you know? But it was a great experience. And all the while, like I had done, you know, some fashion shows. Like I got to do some things in Fashion Week in LA. I got to do Nicole Miller in New York, Pamela Rowland in New York for Laura Mercier. And I, you know, I got to travel around a lot. Like I've been to almost every state in our United States with Laura Mercier. I got to travel to London. That was pretty amazing. And then 2008, the economy started to crash. In 2009, I unfortunately got laid off, and they laid off a number of artists. So I was kind of at a place in my life where I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. Because like I was going up this climb in my makeup career, and I always had aspirations to be like Kevin Kwan. You know, I believe
Yeah.
like I can be the next Kevin Kwan. I have skill. I'm, you know, I'm creative. Like I understand skin. I understand like the different skin types, ages, you know, textures. Because that's a thing that I would say, not to throw shade at people nowadays, you know, who come up with like Instagram and TikToks and YouTube. Like a lot of these people, they don't have the experience of working on a real people. They have experience of working on their face. So, you know, back when we began, you know, you had to get experience and learn what it was to deal with the different textures and age groups, different shade tones. You know, not everybody's going to be a yellow with a gold highlight and, you know, a taupey, you know, contour. Like, you need to
Right.
understand what works on the skin tones and undertones and all the stuff. Anyways, I digress. So
You're good.
I was at a point where I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? Because I wasn't like really trying to freelance with a bunch of brands at the time. I did still freelance for Laura Mercier because my real good friend Teresa still ran accounts for Sephora. So I would just go around and do events and stuff. But I thought, okay, I'm going to go to school. I'm going to go get my esthetician's license because I wanted to be a facialist or esthetician because I thought, okay, that's an easy transition. If I'm not doing makeup, I could go work in a spa and do facials, and then I would have, you know, be able to make money and clients and blah, blah, all that. So that was my intention with going to school. However, when I joined, there wasn't anything available, like with the classes for estheticians. So I'm like, okay, well, let me just take the hair classes. Like I had dabbled in hair. I had done hair for photo shoots. I liked doing hair, but it was not my passion at all whatsoever. So I just went through the whole program. And through that, you know, 2.5 years of going to school pretty much full time, you know, I really found a love for hairstyling. You know, I really, it's like if you're familiar with that movie, Beautiful Mind, you know, the one with what's his name, the Australian actor, and Jennifer Connelly, the one who was in not 300, Gladiator. What's his name?
I'm looking it up.
Well, anyways, that actor, that Aussie, he played this character that was a genius, and he was a mathematical genius, and like these equations, like you'd look at a board and these equations would pop up on the board and it would like solve the problem. Almost actually another example is a Queen's Gambit. You know, when she's looking at the her plays with the chess pieces on the ceiling.
It's like the all
Well,
the
anyways,
pieces of the puzzle coming together.
yeah, it's in her head. So
Yeah.
like that's how it was for me when I started to learn the fundamentals and the basics of hair. Like everything I had been doing, I could look at a hair now, see the balance and the shape, and like I can see like the hairs moving into place, the shape coming here, and if I tease it here, I put a pin here, and this, and that, and bam, and bam, and bam.
Hey.
It just like it clicked in my brain,
Yeah.
and I'm like, oh,
You had your aha moment.
I had my aha moment, and a lot of pieces of the puzzle just like, oh, that's how you do that. Now I feel like, okay, I could call myself a hairdresser. So I finished school. Oh, another cool thing that happened. So towards the end of school, there was a competition that I had entered, that was kind of a big deal in beauty colleges. It was called Junior Style Stars. So
Okay.
basically, it was a competition where you pay money, you get a mannequin head. Everybody gets the same mannequin head, same hair, same everything. You have to cut, color, style, and do makeup on this mannequin head. So I did this competition. There was about 300 people who entered, and the first prize was 50,000 cash in prizes. So it was a
Nice.
pretty big deal.
Especially for back
And
then.
oh my God, yeah. And I was just like, I was like kind of struggling. Like I was on unemployment. Like I wasn't working full time. I was, living with a roommate. I was freelancing on the weekends, like in between school. So it was a tough time for me. So I did this competition, and every week, like it would dwindle down top 100, top 75, 50, blah, blah, blah. Get down to the top 10. At this time, I had taken the exam. I passed my exam. I got my license. The school had called me. They're like, oh, we want to do this thing where we're honoring students who had graduated. And sure enough, they show up. Me and this other girl who happened to be in the competition showed up, and they had this like little luncheon thing. They presented us certificates. And then they're like, oh, we want you to come to the salon, to say hi to the students and talk about whatever. I'm like, okay. So we go, and they have a curtain up. I'm like, something's fishy. So we're pulling up there, and at this time we knew that both me and this other girl were in the top 10. And mind you, this was a competition that the rival school, LA Tread Tech, they had been taking this trophy like every year.
That's actually where I
So,
went for fashion merchandising.
oh really? Oh, how funny.
Yeah.
So they'd been taking the prize for this competition, and I was at the time going to Santa Monica College, which, listen, if you're thinking of getting into cosmetology, go there. And I tell this to everybody, go there or a junior college, because you
Right.
can get grants, especially if you're a minority. You can look for grants, get the education to pass the state board. Don't worry about going to a fancy school. If you know shit about hair, shit about estheticians, all that, go there and learn it, get your license, and then go take specialty classes with the other brands. I'm not going to name names, but there's some that have schools, very prestigious schools, but I am a firm believer that you learn the fundamentals, learn how to pass state board, so you have the basic skill, and you're not being indoctrinated into a philosophy of a brand. It's like more even playing field, and then you see what you even like in hair and makeup. Then you look up who's the specialty, who's the ones who are specialty in hair cutting, who's the ones who have specialty in color. Then go to those brands and get educated on them. If they have a school, go take classes. But that's my little soapbox on
Can
that.
I let me give a little add to what you were saying really quick.
Oh, sure.
This is exactly why I wanted to create the safe space as well, because there are so many students of mine in my past that are listening to this for exactly what you're describing right now, that kind of like firsthand experience and expertise and advice really as a mentor. And yeah, I think you said it perfectly. I relate to your story so much because I also was infatuated with Madonna and Kevin Aucoin. And yeah, I mean, who doesn't want to idolize and be like the person that they look up to as a hero in their industry? And also like the love for makeup first for me as like an artist, as going to LA art school first. And then the hair thing, going to cosmetology was like an after of like, oh, and yeah, I related to so many things that you said because it is all relative. And you have to have that like one switch that clicks it for you. And then for me, it was doing hair color because color theory, when we do color correction, is relative to the same we when we do hair coloring. It's all the same color mm-hmm. science. So I always yep. tell my students is exactly what you're saying is like, try everything, learn the fundamentals first, because you're not going to figure out your strengths in those couple years as you're learning. You're going to learn from your discoveries and your challenges and your opportunities, but really it's mm-hmm. out in the floor, it's out in the field, it's out in the in retail cosmetics, or it's out yeah. in assisting where you kind of have to fuck up to, and you're going to, like, that's just yeah. bottom line. That's how you, when you ride a bike, when you're learning how to roller skate, you're going to fall. Yeah. That's how you yeah. have to learn. Absolutely. So you can get back up and keep going. So thank you for sharing that. I just wanted to piggyback on your advice. And I think that's really smart.
Oh yeah, of course. And you know, it's like, it's important to, I find that so important to share that with people. And, you know, I've done a couple talks with schools and, you know, students and, you know, form where like it's, we're there to share and I'm there to share my experience. And I'm very open to share that because it's, you got to find out what it is that drives your passion. And if you are out there trying to be like, if you're doing hair, makeup, or anything in the beauty industry that is, you want to be a, like a celebrity, this or that, that's just who you work on. It's not who you are. Like I would say, you know, speaking of makeup, like, yes, I've worked on celebrities, but a smoky eye is what I'm an expert at. I want you to, you know, talk to me about being a smoky eye expert, not a, you know, a celebrity, this or that. It's not important to me. I think right. for other people, it is an important thing. And, you know, power to you, boo. I mean, if that's what you want to do, that's who you want to be that, do that, you know, be an artist if you want. But if it's like, what's your priority, you know? Think about it a little bit thoroughly yeah. and what your passion is and what you want to do. For
also,
me,
what's
I
like,
do...
what's feeding your soul? What's feeding your soul and mm-hmm. making you feel those butterflies and gives you joy? Yeah. You know what I mean? With the power of your hands. Like, it's got to be something that's going to be impactful. You can't just do mm-hmm. something mediocre because you feel like it's going to get you likes or the yeah. celebrity of it. Like you said, you want to put your passion into it and make sure that you love it and you're happy with it, you know?
Yeah, that's the bottom line is you got to be happy with it and do it for the right things that is good to your soul, because celebrity fades, you know, talent is forever. Even if it starts to dwindle away because you're physically unable to do certain things, you know, I personally would rather be known for, you know, what I did, not who I did. That's just my thing. But
wise words, my friend, wise words.
Yeah. So, oh, wait. So, back to that story I was telling. So long story short, we go behind the curtain and they're there with a big ass check, and it has my name on it. So I won the competition. Yay.
Yes.
So that was just one great accolade. And, you know, after I got out of school, I, had an opportunity to work on an independent thing. And I actually met a really well-known makeup artist, and you probably know him because he did Madonna's makeup during the Drown World time. His name is Clexius Colby.
Yes, I know his work.
He worked with Madonna. He's worked with Janet. He's worked with some of the greats. He's done Whitney. And he was working on this project, and we got along really great. And he's like, hey, I'm going to be doing this film. You know, I want to recommend you to do the hair. And I said, okay, yeah, I'd love to do it, you know. Not even thinking like, oh, I want to get into TV and film. You know, I want to be a hairstylist. I still very much was, I'm going to be the next Kevin Kwan. That's right. Where my head was.
Right.
And so I did this film, and lo and behold, like, the film flipped. Now, the thing about working in the union, when you do things, it's not the easiest process to get in. One of the things is you have to do like 30 days or 60 days within 60 months under 2 years. Like, there's this whole mathematical equation in which you have to accrue your hours and your time to count towards being a union member or being eligible to join the union. Now, like that, it was not for me. I did this film and we were on it. It started non-union and then it turned union and I was on it for 30 days. So I got into the union. So
Dang,
it was a
amazing.
blessing. It was a total blessing. And at the time I'm like, well, I don't know if I want to join the union because I still want to do makeup. Like that's my passion. But I did know a few people who kind of educated me on the fact that in the union, there are more hair or there are more makeup artists than there are hairstylists. So if you get an opportunity to go into the union, you should do it as a hairstylist, not a makeup artist, because you'll have more work. So knowing this knowledge, I thought, okay, well, I'm going to join the union. I'll do hair. I have a cosmetology license. It makes sense. You need one to be in the union. So why not? So I did it. And, you know, that was like 2010, that was like 2011, I think. And, you know, 6 years later, fast forward, I'm on the set of Westworld as the key
Incredible.
hairstylist. So, you know, the other point I want to make, and I've said this before in things I've spoken on, the things that I've done are attributed to my hard work, my passion, but not having an ego. And when I say that, I mean, when you get approached to do a photo shoot, to do it, you know, for trade, for free, for credit, whatever, if you don't have experience, do the shoot. I don't care
Right.
how good you think you are. I don't care who you think you are. I don't care who you've worked on. If you don't have the experience, do the shoot because you don't know what that's going to lead to. If you have the time, if you have the kit, why not take that opportunity to exercise your muscles, whether it be your mental muscles, your eye muscles, your hand muscles, your creative muscles is what I'm getting at. And it keeps you sharp. It connects you to people. And yes, it's like, okay, there are the people who utilize people who don't have experience to get what they want for their thing. But I met an actress on a shoot. It was a free shoot. I didn't get paid. She hired me on a short she was doing. From that short, I did a mini series. From that mini series, I met another actress. She got me on another short. That's where I met Clex. From that, I did the movie. From the movie, I got in the union. From the union, 6 years later, I got on a show. And guess what? I got an Emmy. And I still do free shoots. Oh, wait, let me be clear. I don't want a bunch of phone calls for free shoots now. But I'm saying don't scoff at it. Don't put your nose up at it. You do not know who you're going to meet. You don't know who's heading where. I worked on a set once where a PA, just a PA doing lockups, not even working on first team. He was on a show doing a PA. And a year later, he's directing a film that won a bunch of awards at a film festival. We're cool. We talk every now and again. I know that if he has a film, he'll hit me up and say, hey, I have this thing. We have a budget. You know, do you want to come and do hair on it? Like, you don't know what plants grow from these seeds that you plant, you know?
Absolutely.
So just, you know, drop the ego, you know?
Yeah. No, a couple of things. I love that you're saying that. And I just want to piggyback on what you're saying. Just to reflect a little bit of your story and your beautiful story, by the way, and I'm so proud of you. I mean, number one, you're expressive and creative, right? And that's always what's going to feed your soul. Number two, you took risks. Like, you took many risks to step out of your comfort zone and say, yeah, well, I'm really comfortable with this particular service, but I'm going to try something else. You also joined competition shows where you were put on a stage and a platform to test yourself in front of people. And again, stepping out of your comfort zone. So really my point is to express and encourage others, artists especially, to put yourself in situations like that. Because if you're always in this, you know, comfortable zone, how are you going to expand? How are you going to discover other parts of you that maybe you could evolve and grow into? And and maybe develop better habits, old routines that are not being of service for you anymore. You know what I mean? So that's why I wanted to create this space to So I knew that you were going to be perfect for that. And well earned, like
Thanks.
pretty much like every your
Excuse
puzzle,
me.
the way you express that the pieces of the chess coming together, that's been your career. Like all these little pieces have led you up to winning the game, so winning the Emmy, to every nomination. Like you weren't chilling, you know what I mean? Like you
No,
were
at
working
all,
your
at
ass
all.
off to network, to do the free gig, to but then boom, it opens up other doors and avenues. So
Absolutely.
yes, living your life with mind, body, soul. And that's kind of a perfect segue into my next part. What type of spiritualities do you practice, or if you are spiritual at all, and how does that help you balance your creativity as being an entrepreneur as well? Because that's what you are, you're an entrepreneur.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I agree with all that you said. Well, spirituality is a very it's a very personal thing, isn't it? Like, you know, everybody has their thing in life that they look up to, that is their guiding light, that is their God, that is their, you know, goddess, that is their deity, what have you. I come from a family that isn't necessarily very religious or anything, but like my mom's side was Mormon, my dad's side was traditionally brought up Catholic. But when he was growing up, and like, you know, he traveled in the Navy and did all these things, he had done different studies and read up on other religions, Hinduism and
Also, I love the
Buddhism.
relationship that you and your dad have. Sorry.
Oh, you know, everybody who meets my dad, they love my dad so much. And I'm so grateful that I have my dad. I unfortunately lost my mom in 2007 to
I'm sorry for your
cancer.
loss.
Thank you. Thank you. I know we share, you know, that part, like,
They're still with
but it's
us.
hard. It's hard when you don't have a parent with you, but, you know, to have him in my life is a blessing. And, you know, I would say that's a little, you know, when you think about it, when you have a relationship with your parents, or, you know, your aunt, uncles, grandparents, what have you, the person who's raised you, it's almost a spiritual practice to connect with them and to learn from their experience and
Absolutely.
to be there to listen to them, and to understand that time is futile and you don't always have the time. And, you know, that's something I feel like over the years I've kind of realized how important it is to be present with, you know, those moments that I actually am able to have with my dad, because I don't know how many more years I'm gonna have, if I'm being honest. I mean, he's 82, he's gonna be 82 this year.
What's dad's
He's
name?
Paul.
What's up, Paul? Shout out to Paul. We love
Yeah,
Paul.
everybody knows him as Uncle Paul. You could follow him on Instagram,
Let's
Uncle
go.
Paul, UNCLEPAUL. But he's a real cool dude, and everybody who meets him loves him, and he is just so full of life, and he has a lot of heart. And I feel like, when I think about that question about spirituality, it's about love, it's about self-discovery, it's about centering your energy. I'm really big on, now I couldn't sit here and tell you all the mechanics of chakras and, you know, the different crystals and the solar systems and, you know, astrology or anything, but I will say that the bits I have read up on, I find relevance to my life with it. It's helped guide me in how I interact with people. Like, if I know someone's sign, like, I've actually done it where if I know someone's sign, if they're in a certain position with me, it kind of forms the way I will interact with them. Like the questions I'll ask, you know, there's some people where you meet them and you got to know they are always right. They're in charge. And even though you know something's incorrect, you have to find a way to show them the correct way, but make them feel like they came up with the idea, you
Make them
know,
feel
like
heard.
make them feel heard. And at the end of the day, that's what it's about, is everybody wants to be valued, they want to be heard, they want to be considered. So like that's a little bit of, for me, what makes it important to just stay as grounded and connected as I can. I try to meditate when I have a moment.
Good.
Really taking moments to pause, to not react. It's taken some time to learn that. And I would say that, when you're young, and not always when you're physically young in age, but you can be 50, 60 years old and be young. And by that, I mean immature. And immaturity isn't acting like a child, it's just not being evolved enough to understand what the situation is at hand, to be able to recognize it for what it is, to stop and pause and think before you react to something. And, I'm no
And
one
actually
perfect. Like,
listen, right?
and listen, that's the biggest thing is listening, because you can't understand the situation or speak on something unless you hear, like, with clarity. And even if you're not listening in the moment, just, let the person go, let them speak, let them do what they got to do. Take it in, sit on it for a minute, and then react. It's
I
important. I
love
feel like
that.
that's part of my spirituality, is
That's beautiful.
taking those moments and pausing and being mellow as I can, because I can get worked up very easily. I'm a very passionate person.
Not the diva bitch,
Oh, she's still up in here. She's
a
in here with us. We all swim down this
little
pole.
bit,
Or what's
yes.
that? What's that thing from it? From it, we all swim. What did they say? When the bloom went in the drain. Well, anyways,
Whatever,
yeah. So
yeah.
diva bitch is still. My point is, she
Diva
is still very much alive inside of me, and so is Miss Fiction. But Poppy is in control, and just kind of bringing it back to who's at the driver's seat, and understanding the difference to lead with your mind, or your heart, or your emotion. I will say that most of the time, leading with emotion isn't always the best key. Sometimes it is, though, because sometimes you have to get to an emotional state to break through someone who can't feel love. And when you have love within yourself, you can share it with them in a way that they may not recognize. And when they see that's what your intention is, I think that's the most beautiful connection we make with each other, is for them to realize it and, connect with you on that. And I think that love and human connection is like a ultimate spiritual connection, a spiritual experience, if you will. So
Absolutely. You said
I
that
guess that's what I
perfectly,
would say.
friend.
Like if I, I just believe it. Like, I go with the flow of life. I feel my way through things. I trust my instincts inside. I listen. And I decipher what works for my life and what will not, and respectfully decline the things that don't work.
Setting
And
healthy boundaries, absolutely.
and that's something that's, it comes with time, it comes with maturity. And, the sooner you come to a realization that you have to be open to it, and like growth, what like we mentioned earlier, and what you were saying, you can't grow unless you feel something. And when you feel something, it doesn't feel good sometimes. It hurts. It's uncomfortable. But if you're feeling that feeling, then you're growing. So just go with it. Let it happen,
It's temporary. It's all temporary, right? You're so beautiful. I love you so much. I'm so grateful to have you still in my life. Yes, blink those beautiful lashes. We got so much information, you guys. I hope you really took all of this and just soaked it up like a sponge. We're now going into one of my favorite parts of this podcast. It's called Wrapping Up Mindful Artist Podcast with Rapid Cues. So I'm going to ask you a few questions, three in particular, just right off the top of your head. Don't have to think about it too hard, but just intuitively, what is the answer? Question number one, Javi, who is your hero and why?
Oh, my mother, because she was a survivor, she persevered, and she was artistic, and she was passionate.
What's Mama's name?
Julia Perrier, like the
Oh,
water.
Julia, shout out to Julia. We love you. Love that. Yes. Cool. Okay. Question number two, what is your favorite music album of all time and why?
Oh my
Like,
God,
you let
this
it
is the
play from track
forethought.
one to last track.
Oh my God.
You're on a deserted island and you only have a Discman with one CD.
It's something by Bjork.
Yes, good choice.
Homogenic, because there's a good range of ballads
Chills.
and
Chills.
dance music.
Good
And
choice.
I performed Pluto in drag, and it was one of my best drag performances ever.
Yes, I love your drag performances. I miss them. We need to have a reunion with Miss Fiction soon.
Oof.
Let's
We'll
bring
see
her
about
back.
that. She's
Let's bring her back.
in a cave somewhere in the Ozarks. I don't know.
We
She's
can find
like,
her.
she's
I'll dig
hidden.
her up.
Okay, well, good luck.
Okay, babe. All right. We have one more question for wrapping up my Forrest Rabbit Q's, and that is, what is your favorite quote of all time?
Oh my God.
Could be someone that said to you, or somewhere that you read it, or a mentor
Oh my
told you.
gosh.
It's that one quote that's going to be on your grave. You know what I mean?
Oh my God, that's so much pressure. Okay, the only thing that's coming to my mind is a quote from an interview in a magazine. I don't know which one, and I'm probably going to get it incorrect. But basically, it's something to the effect of, I don't regret my decisions because they're the building blocks of who I am. And I believe it was from an interview with Madonna sometime in the 90s. But that's loosely what it was. So
It
don't
sounds
quote
accurate. It
me.
sounds accurate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bravo. Love it. That's a really good quote. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your love, your light, your energy, your story, your passion. I felt it. I'm like chills and goosebumps all over. I feel great. I hope everybody out there feels the same way and is receiving all the energy that you're giving out. I'm so proud of you. This is your time to plug. Where can we find you? Where can we follow you and support your craft? And what is the next thing you're working on? Any projects that are coming up that you can talk about?
Okay, well, you can find me on Instagram mostly. Pavi Artist is my handle. Give me a follow. You can message me there. You can check out things I post. I don't post too often because I try to be strategic and post things three at a time because I do this thing with tiles and I have to
Sure.
have it because I'm so anal retentive about shit. I have to have it even all the time. So I hate when it's like that. Doesn't work for
I
me.
feel you.
Anyways,
It's your portfolio. It's your
so
grid. Yes.
yeah. So Pavi Artist on Instagram. That's pretty much my only handle. I do have a Facebook page, but I kind of keep that for friends. But if you find me on there, Pavi Olivares, Pavros Olivares,
Love it.
if you want to
Love
be
it.
friends, I try to post different things there. So it's like more personal things. Those are my two main ones. And actually, I just wrapped on Friday a really freaking cool movie called Idiotka. And it is going to be, it's kind of like the storyline. It's a comedy and it's loosely based on a kind of a Project Runway experience.
Ooh.
So it's like, this family, this girl, she's talented, she makes her way in this competition, and it's like kind of a coming of becoming who she is and finding herself and shedding the shallow parts of what fashion are and kind of
Love
poking fun at
that.
what fashion thinks it is and those
Yeah.
shows of what they think they are. So it's gonna be really good.
It's going to be
Julia
your next
Fox is in
Emmy.
it.
Putting that out
Who
there.
knows? Well, no, not Emmy. It would be an Oscar because it's going to be a
Oh,
feature.
yes,
Yeah.
Oscar. I'm putting
Yeah.
that
So
out there.
we'll see about that. I mean, I don't know. It could be. I mean, it was a very fun film. So that, and then, oh, actually, I do have a movie coming out on January 12th, called
Ooh, right around the corner.
Self-Reliance.
Yeah.
Yeah, Self-Reliance. It's the first time director, Jake Johnson, and you might know him from New Girl. He played Zooey Deschanel's boyfriend, I believe. I didn't
We
watch the
know.
show, so I don't know. But people who know Jake Johnson really know Jake Johnson. He has a big fan base. But it's his directorial debut. And yeah, we did that film last year, and I think
That's
it's
so
going to be
dope.
great. So everybody check it out on Hulu, January 12th.
Love, love, love. Congratulations, babe. I love you. I'm so happy for you. Yes. You guys, thank you so much for being here with us at Mindful Artist Podcast. My name is Andrew Velasquez. We have Pavi. Go out there, make an impact in someone's life. And that song you're about to hear is called Mi Corazón, written by myself, produced by Aaron McLendon, where you can download where you stream your favorite music. And follow us on Instagram at Mindful Artist Podcast. And if you're also a creative person that balances your life while being spiritual and an entrepreneur, email me at mindfulartistpodcast@gmail.com. Until the next time, you guys, much love and light to you all. I love you, Pavi. Bye, guys.
I love you. Au revoir.